So if you could find our text today, it's John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. John chapter 10, verses 27, 28, 29, and 30. If you're able to stand, would you please do so? I'd like to read these verses in your hearing, and then ask God's help to, as we attempt to understand and apply them, these truths to our lives. Verse 27, my sheep, Jesus speaking here, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Amen. Amen. Our Father, we come to you now in humility and sincerity. And we ask you to meet us in the Scriptures. Our hearts are open before your eyes, just as this Bible is open before ours. And Lord, would you do the work in our hearts so that this word might be applied properly. And then once we understand it, Lord, grant us the grace to order our lives according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. All right. I want to connect the dots just a little bit here, since it's been a few weeks since we were together. Our subject today is true believers persevere until the end, right? True believers persevere until the end. So you might remember that what we've done so far is we've been looking at the beginnings, right? The beginning of humanity, the beginning of all that is created. In the beginning, what? God created. And so we've been looking at the beginnings for a number of weeks. And we saw how God brought all things into being. We also saw that God is faithful. Even though humanity failed so miserably, the awful sin and the distrust that Adam and Eve displayed when they would not obey God, when they would not trust God in what he had said, when they would not enjoy all that God had given them without exploring one little area that was forbidden. And so think of, though God's heart was broken, he was still faithful. God still had a plan. Now, you know that it didn't take him by surprise, but God, you can imagine the heart of the Maker to see the distrust of his creation when they had everything that they needed and everything that they really could desire until they were persuaded otherwise. So we've seen God's faithfulness. We also have seen that God has a wonderful plan of redemption, right? And he's going to work that plan of redemption regardless of the awful failures of people. And you and I are forever, eternally grateful that God's plan does not change because of us, right? Amen. We're thankful that God, when the Bible speaks of God as being omniscient, he knows all about us. He knows all. There is nothing new under the sun. You and I don't investigate areas and commit sin that God hasn't already made provision for. Amen. Thank God for that.
Amen.
And so his great plan of redemption is going to always work. We've seen that God proved that he will maintain a faithful witness on this earth regardless of what's going on. Even when you and I look at a society and it looks like it's just absolutely falling apart, but God hasn't lost control.
Amen.
God still has a faithful witness.
Amen.
Yes, he does. And we saw it in Hebrews 11, as you see that he had Abel and Enoch and all the faithful, Noah, Abraham, Moses, all of the faithful witnesses, Sarah and Rahab and Esther and on and on and on. The faithful witnesses will be there, even though there may be corruption all around. God is faithful.
Amen.
God is faithful. That's our hope, right?
Yes.
God is faithful. And so he's proven it to us. And then the last thing I want to remind you of as we begin to dive into our subject matter today is that God knows the end from the beginning.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Isn't this good?
Yeah.
Before he ever made Adam and Eve, he already knew who would be in heaven.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful that God's not limited Amen. With time and space?
Amen.
Mm. Already knew.
Yeah.
Already could have thought through your birth and my birth and Amen. Your death and my death. And he already knows who's going to be there around the great throne.
Yeah.
Isn't this good?
Yeah.
In our glorified bodies.
Yeah.
And the wonder of it all.
Yeah.
But see, it's the Bible says for you and me, it's looking through a glass, what? Dimly. We see, it's like cloudy. We got, I don't know how many of you ever had cataracts, but it's the same, you know, when you cataracts begin to get on your eyes, some of y'all nodding, you know. The things that used to be clear are not clear anymore. But the Bible says that one day we will see clearly, right, as we are seen. And so, but God knows the end from the beginning, right? And so we trust him that his plan will not fail. He will make sure that his great plan is carried out until the end.
Yeah.
And so that's the way we're going to begin our study for these next few months. We've looked at the beginning. Now we're going to look at the end, okay? I can say this to you right away, those of you who didn't see my email last night, that whenever you approach subject matters like this, it's going to require great humility, right? Great grace, great patience with each other, great patience with me. Don't jump ahead of me and think you know what I'm about to say or where I'm going. Just wait.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just wait and see what the Spirit of God wants to reveal,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Because God is not the what? Author of confusion. God does not plan to confuse Trinity Community Church.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Whether we're talking about the beginning or what?
The
or the end. He plans for us to be one, to be in harmony.
Amen.
I'm not saying that he plans for you to become a little a Willyite. You understand? That's not the issue. We want to know what? The truth. And the truth will make us free. Right? So let's remember that. Let's be gracious and patient as we work through this. What you might have wanted to know in 1 week, you might not. But let's wait. Right? All right. Now I'm going to remind you of that as we move along. You said okay. You said amen. So what we will do today is we're going to begin our consideration of eschatology. I'll tell you what that is. And then we'll spend just a few minutes talking about what I call personal eschatology. Okay? And so let's dive in. The eschatology, and I'll tell you what it is in just a minute. I'm going to be using several outlines by some really good systematic theological thinkers, okay? One is named Wayne Grudem, Louis Burkhoff, and there are many others. And there's also a wonderful book called The Bible in the Future by Anthony Hokima that I find very helpful. And so I, even though some of what I talk about I will have maybe veered, because I don't think any one person has it all. I'm just wanting you to know that neither should you think that we've come up with something new that no other saint of God has thought of. There's always a danger when you feel like you've got something so outlandish that no other saint has come up with, all right? Likewise, neither should we think any one person has understood it so well that all we need to do is to read this, you understand, this one person. And so I'm going to be using some works by a number of people that I think have studied and done good work in this area. So let's begin with a definition, all right? A definition of eschatology. The study of future events is called eschatology. The study the study of future events. Now, the word itself is taken from a Greek word, eschatos, okay? And phonetically, it'd be spelled like that, E-S-C-H-A-T-O-S, eschatos. And the word literally means last. Eschatos means last. So that you got verses like 2 Timothy 3:1, I believe it is. It says, but understand this, that in the last days there will be what? Difficult times. Difficult times are coming when? In the last days. That's the word eschatos, okay? So that's what we're looking at, is the last days, or if you will, the last things. And so eschatology then is the study of the last things, okay? The last things. So that it's all-encompassing, and I hope to show you this in future weeks. I'll talk about it generally here today. But it covers all of the events that we see happening in our days and that others have seen happening. I believe that the last days, if you read your Bible, the last days were addressed in the New Testament. So I believe the last days started after Jesus was resurrected. And so this that's the reason every generation feels like Jesus could come at any time, because they're living in the last times. There are things that are happening, okay? Understand that. And yet Jesus may not come for, we don't know. Jesus said, no man knows what? The day of that. We don't know. Yes. But always be what? Ready. You don't know when, but you be ready, because it could. But here's and I'm getting way ahead of myself. Because the fact is, he may come for you anyway. Amen. Whether he comes for everybody else or not, you what? Need to be ready.
Amen.
Yes. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. So that's eschatology. I want to talk about a distinction real quick. There's two categories of eschatology that we will address in these upcoming months. One category I'll call personal eschatology, okay? And that's what we'll talk about today. At least we'll begin talking about it today. Personal eschatology. The other one is what we'll call general eschatology, all right? So personal eschatology is the study of last things that affect our lives, what? Individually. Personally. And so you need to be keenly aware of that. That these events that are going on affect, they don't just affect everybody else, they affect what? They affect you. And we need to be keenly aware of that. It's I know y'all have heard the news reports, but you know, we've had this Ebola outbreak over in Africa that's killed a few hundred people. And it just brought what? The first they just brought the first ill person, who was a physician, to Atlanta, right? The first person infected with Ebola that, if I understand it right, that has ever been in the United States. And so you and I need to recognize that these events, just like that one event, right now you might say, well, that's down in Atlanta. Don't be deceived. We're all, God has designed this world. It's all interconnected, right? And that's the reason they're so concerned about trying to what? Contain.
Yeah.
Because God says that there are going to be plagues and all sorts of problems, you know, happening. And so I'm not trying to scare you. I want you to see that these last things affect us what? Individually.
Yeah.
You can't just be nonchalant and think that just because it's not affecting me right now, I don't care. The Christian is not to be indifferent. We're to be what? Engaged.
Yeah.
Pray! You say, well, I can't do anything. Who told you that? We just said, you got what? Access to the Master. You've got access to the one who controls Ebola. You've got access to the doctor that can heal Ebola. Medicine can't do it, but don't think the Master can't. Right?
Amen.
You believe that? And so we recognize that these last things affect us individually. So as we go a little further, I want you to know that these future events are revealed by God, and they will have a personal and direct effect on us individually. The last category, general eschatology, is a study of last things that affect the entire universe, right, and all of creation. And so even though you and I know that there are things that affect our lives, our home, our, you know, our personal interests, God is also doing things that affect the entire universe, right? Beyond our little sphere of influence. All right. So I want to conclude this section with this thought. Keep this in mind. This is just an introduction, so we're not going to be long today. Eschatology is the study of last things that will affect individuals, the entire universe, and all of creation. That's what we're going to be looking at, okay? It affects you individually. It affects the entire universe and all of creation. Trees, animals, everything. Right? Romans says that all of creation is groaning, waiting for Jesus. Why? Because it was all affected by Adam's sin.
Amen. Yeah.
Everything is affected. And God's coming to make it right.
Yeah.
Make it right. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank God that nothing will miss. He won't miss a thing. Reading the prophet says that the mountains will be made low.
Yeah.
The valleys, he's going to come and smooth out the valleys. God's coming to make it right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
I've never, occasionally Adam and I have taken a vacation. And you get some of these places where you go to what looks like, you ever been around Clearwater?
Yeah.
It's just amazing to look at. Now, I know it's not pristine. You go to the Mississippi and the Missouri. We were up there at the confluence, looking at that mud. That's just mud splashing up on the rocks. But then to be able to look at clean water. Jesus is coming to make things right.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Things right. No effect of sin. And so it's going, eschatology affects everything. And so lastly then, let's look at this first category, or begin to look at this first category, personal eschatology. And here's what I mean. First of all, you need to know that when it comes to personal eschatology, perseverance is fundamental. So when we talk about perseverance, be aware of this. Not one false believer and not one unbeliever will persevere to the end. Not one. Regardless of how many folks have been pretending in church, how many have been serving on the usher board or as deacons and preachers or whatever, singing and musicians, if you are a false believer, you will not persevere in faith to the end. And certainly unbelievers will not. And Jesus helps us understand that truth. Can you turn to Matthew 13 real quick? Y'all know the parable of the seed and the sower, right? If you don't, let's just look at it real quick. Jesus says, just told the parable of the seed and the sower, how the sower has the seed and he throws the seed out on these various kinds of soil, right? He talks about these four kinds of soil that the sower throws the seed out on. And then what he helps us understand is that three of the kinds of soil don't really handle the vegetation very well. Okay? So that's what we're going to look at in verses 18 through 22. You got that? Matthew 13, beginning at verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. He's explaining now the parable that he just told. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Okay, so he said that there's one kind of ground that it's kind of like you all been out on trails, and you know whenever you got a trail where people walk on, the ground gets really packed down. It's hard, and you've been out on trails. You can do it around your house. You got, children that make a path through your yard or whatever. The ground gets really packed down. That's what he said. Seed that gets thrown on there, the birds come and get it easily. Why? Because it's laying there on the top. And so you got people in church that they come and they seem like they're getting it, but it seems like it's just, it never sticks. And that's what he's saying, is that that's the reason why the ground of heart is hard. It sounds good, but it's not sinking in. There's no change. You got it? And so then, you got verse 20? As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation and persecution arise on account of the word, immediately he falls away. You know what he's talking about there? Sometimes you can have topsoil, like in my yard, topsoil that's laid on top of rock and clay and hard surfaces. And if you ever see it in the fall, the grass will pop up right away. But if the moisture doesn't get, if the root can't get down in the ground, and if the moisture can't get down in the ground, that's the first grass that what? That dies, right? That's what he's saying here. Is that you got some people that are church members? It was synagogue. They were around Christians back in that day, and it looked like they were the real deal, except they didn't last very long. You looked around and they were gone. That's what he's saying. Now he's also saying, make sure this is not you.
Amen.
Goodness, this is serious.
Amen.
See, I'm not talking about eschatology for you just to get excited. Eschatology affects us personally. Right? Because you and I are going to die. Right?
Amen.
You need to be concerned about this issue. It's a sad thing for this to, you have lived your life in the church and not be saved.
Amen.
Served on whatever. Been a preacher, been a deacon, been whatever.
Amen.
Right? You got 22. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word of God, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And so I didn't mean to belabor this so much, but I just wanted you to see that this is these three kinds of heart. The Bible calls these, this is the hearts of people. And sometimes they look like they got it. You know, that's what he's saying here. He said they're around for a while. But soon as something troublesome happens, they cut off their Social Security or the job downs, whatever. We've seen it happen. And all of a sudden they're pulling back. They pull back from the church. Now, they didn't think they were supposed to get sick. And they did because somebody had told them they shouldn't. And now, rather than drawing near to Christ, they're pulling back from him. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying to you that no false believers and no unbelievers will persevere in faith until the end. That's what Jesus said. Because I won't read you the last one, but then he says there's this fourth kind of soil. But this fourth kind of soil, the main thing he says is what? It bears fruit. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, right? 300%, 600%, 1,000%. Why? What's the point? You can't miss it. You can't miss the fruit. Can you miss 300% worth of fruit?
No.
You don't have to go, you know, looking around under the rock to see if they're Christian. He said, Christian, you don't know them. You will know them by what? By their fruit. You know them.
Amen.
You'll know a tree by its fruit.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, just because you tell me you're an apple tree, and all I see is peaches. Something wrong.
<Amen.
laughs> Or peaches, you know, bitter. you might say, well, ain't nothing wrong with peaches. But, you know, the fact is, whatever kind of tree you say you are, that's the kind of fruit you what? Need to bear.
That's right.
That's his point. You got it? And so perseverance is something that we all need to be very concerned and consider. Remember this statement right here. Only people, only people who have truly been born again. Listen to me. I'm not talking about being born again. I'm not talking about sitting in a seat and being on the morning bench and all those gymnasts have been baptized. No, only those who have truly been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit will persevere in the Christian life until the end.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit in you will make sure.
Yes.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Yes. You say, well, preacher, you're just making statements. No, I'm not. I want to show you that this is, and this is the reason I wanted to spend some time. This is very important. I believe that, as Timothy said, times are rough now, but I believe they're going to get rougher. And you and I have to be prepared. You have to know the truth. Even when you feel like you can't hold on, you need to know that God says you will.
Amen.
You can't go with your feelings.
Yeah.
You got to go with what? The truth.
Yeah.
Right? So you got the Gospel of John. Turn to John chapter 6 and verses 38, 39, and 40. Jesus speaking, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. You believe that? Jesus said, if you are saved, you will be on that last, you will be there on the last day. He said, this is the will of the Father. That, do you believe that Jesus can keep you?
Amen.
He didn't say, you know, we got a whole lot of songs. I'm holding on. I mean, that's all right. That's all right. We are. But the fact is, you're holding because you're being held.
Amen.
Right? So there's nothing wrong with you. Say, little children, you know, you can if you hold a baby, they, you know, sometimes they like to grab your little finger and, you know, very, well, they're holding on. But the fact is, what? They're being held.
Right. Amen.
They're holding on tight.
Yeah.
Or, you know, sometimes they'll grab your neck and that's good. But the fact is, they're being held.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying here.
Yeah.
I won't lose you. Is that good? So it's not that I'll never do this and I'll never. No, no. The fact is, God says, I'm the one that'll use the never.
Yes, right.
I won't lose you.
Uh-huh.
You don't need to be talking about what you won't do.
Yeah.
Just know that I won't lose. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then John chapter 8, y'all familiar with this one. Most people know verse 32. You'll know the truth and the truth set you free. But you see, they don't read verse 31. Verse 31 qualifies verse 32. It says, so Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Then you'll know the truth. The truth doesn't make everybody free. It's only those that are disciples. It's only those that believe in Jesus. There's a whole lot of people that have got the truth, but they ain't free.
Amen.
And they know it in their heads, but they're not free. I went to seminary with a lot of folks that had it in there. Some people went to seminary just because they didn't want to go to college.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean?
Right.
They just assume that this is I like this career path. But if God didn't call you, some of them I don't even believe were saved. I mean, I'm not the judge, but I mean, you'll know the tree by its fruit, right? And so, these are truths that help us see that God himself promises that those who are truly born again by the Holy Spirit will persevere to the end. And then this last John passage, the one that we read at the beginning, can you turn to John chapter 10? Jesus says, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will what? Never perish. I give them eternal life. What is eternal life? How long is it?
Eternally.
If it, I mean, how can you have and not have eternal life? You either got it or you don't. And if you've got it, it's what? It's eternal.
Amen.
And so to make sure you don't miss it, he says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. The two are synonyms, if you will. I mean, they're parallel truths. If you got eternal life, then what? You'll never perish. Right? And no one, isn't that good? No one will snatch them out of my hands. My Father has given them to me. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So, again, I wanted to labor there because you need to have this solid. When we get further into this study of eschatology, this needs to be settled. Either you are for real or you're not. And if you're not for real, you need to get for real.
Amen.
Because all that we're talking about won't help you if you're just here to get smart.
Amen.
You'll just be a smarter, foolish person. Well, actually, I'm not being crass. I'm just saying what the Bible, you just be a smarter fool. That's what the Bible says. A fool, what? Is the one that says in their heart, there's no God. You say, well, I don't say that. Well, if you don't come to Jesus, yes, you do.
Yes, you do. Amen.
Jesus says, I'm God.
Amen.
And the only way you get to know the Father is what? Through me. Mm-hmm. Now, that's what he says to you. And if you don't come to him, that's the way a fool responds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not being crass. I'm just saying to you, don't live your life like that. Don't live your life like a fool. Right?
Amen.
And so when we look at this last comment then for perseverance, is that not only does God promise that those who are truly born again will persevere, God will ensure it himself. Most of you remember that text right there, Romans 8, 28 to 39. You know it. We know that what? God causes what? All things to work together for good to those that love him. Those that are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, those he also predestined, right? Those whom he predestined, those he also called. Those whom he called, what did he do? He also justified. Those whom he justified, those he also glorified. And then he goes on to say, you know it, who can be against? If God be for us, what? Who can be against us? So let folks accuse you. Let them talk about you. If God is for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. It doesn't matter who says, I know you win and I knew that. God is for you. And then he goes on to say, what can separate us then from God? Tribulations and trials, your bills, your health, your family. You just fill in the blank. He goes on and says, nothing is able, what?
Mm-hmm.
To separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That true?
Amen.
You believe it?
Amen.
That's the point. God is going to ensure if you're mine, you will always be mine.
Amen.
Philippians 1:6, he who began this good work in us will what? Perfect it until the day of Christ.
Amen.
You believe it? Well, you've been good so far. 1 Peter 1:5. Says that we are those who are kept, guarded by God.
Mm-hmm.
He's keeping us for that great treasure in heaven. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Why would God be keeping your treasure in heaven if he didn't plan to bring you there?
Amen.
Why would he be keeping your prayers if he didn't plan to bring you there?
Amen.
Christian, come on.
Yes.
Isn't this good?
Yes.
But you got to know the truth. You got to know it for yourself.
Amen.
You got to know it when you leave this building. You got to know it when you're at work. You got to know it when you go, right? Because the Bible says go. You can't just know it here. You need to know it when you go.
Yeah.
You need to know this when it's hard.
Amen.
That I will persevere.
Yeah.
The psalmist says, my foot, what? Almost slipped.
Yeah.
But God didn't let it slip.
Amen.
All of us can say that. Right?
Yes, sir.
There's times that I said things or did things that I shouldn't have done, but thank God I didn't fall off the cliff.
Yeah.
Why? God kept me. Yeah. That's the only reason. That's the only reason.
Yes, yes.
Thank God for grace and mercy.
Yes.
You will persevere.
Yes.
Right? If you are a true believer, you will persevere. The last thing I want to say to you is when it comes to personal eschatology is this whole idea of certainty. And all of us want to be certain about certain things, some things. And here's a really important issue. Since only true believers will persevere to the end and be saved, you must be certain then that you are saved. I know that when you came this morning, you weren't expecting this, but you're here. And I'm saying to you, you should not leave here after knowing you came and you've heard that God is going to finish his plan. You are going to die. You're going to have to meet with God. You need to settle this issue.
Amen.
You need to be sure that you're either in. And here's the deal. Just be sure that you're in or out, because if you're out, you can get in.
Yeah. Amen.
But don't keep lying. Don't keep pretending, right? Because pretenders don't get in.
Amen.
Pretenders go to hell forever.
Yeah.
There's no need to be a pretender. Everybody here was an awful sinner.
Amen.
So you don't need to say, I'm going to wait till I get it together. You won't get it together. We all thought we were going to get it together.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. Right.
God has to get you together.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And if you come to him, won't he do it? Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
Amen.
Whether you're young or old, he'll get you together.
Yes, he will.
And he'll tell you what he wants for you. Right now, any unsaved person, you're making your own plans. But the Bible says the mind of man plans his way. If you're a Christian, the Lord will what? Direct your steps. And that's good news.
That's good news.
Right? The Lord will direct your steps. And so 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, test yourself. Gives a challenge. He's writing to a whole church.
Mm-hmm.
Test yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Examine yourself to see if you are in the faith.
Yeah.
But then he says, are you afraid?
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a searching question.
Amen.
You afraid to apply the Christian truth to your life? Right? You know what's something wonderful? Everybody in here probably knows John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
For what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. I want to tell you something that you probably didn't know. The word believe.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever believes, that's a, all you grammar students, that's a present active participle. Now, you say, whoa, what are you coming up with the grammar? This grammar is so important.
Amen.
Listen to me. It's present, which means that whoever is believing in him when? Right now. Will be saved. But it's also active. So it means that whoever continues to believe in him when?
All right.
Will be saved.
Yes.
That's the reason you need to know it's a present active participle. So you don't keep going back to when I sat in the chair or when I did this. No, if you saved, it'll be evidence of you being saved when?
Amen.
Right now.
Amen.
You don't have to go back.
Amen.
If you have to always go back, something's wrong. You'll know a tree by its fruit when?
Amen.
Now. Right?
Yes, sir.
Whoever believes in him and continues to believe will be saved. So don't forget that the next time you think of John 3:16. This Romans 8 is I know I'm a little longer than I planned, but this is so important. I just want to cover these last few verses, and then I'm going to let you go. Can you turn to Romans 8 real quick? You see verse 14 there? You're familiar with these, but just look at it. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Is that true?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will continue to bear witness in you if you are a Christian.
Amen.
Even when you fail, he'll be there convicting you.
Amen.
Will he?
Yes.
Ask God for forgiveness.
Yes.
Change. You don't have to sit and wallow in this.
Amen.
Change. Repent.
Yeah.
Get up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? The Spirit of God in you will do that.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
Amen.
If you're a Christian, you know that.
Amen.
Won't let you sit there and wallow. You want to, but he won't let you.
Amen.
The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That ought to be there. That ought to be there.
Amen.
First John says that you'll know as you're a Christian if you love your what? Your brother. See, all of these, I'm just reminding you that there's plenty of evidence, there ought to be this fruit in our lives. Jesus says of us as Christians, you'll know that they are my disciples by the love what that they have one for another. And I won't take you through. Make note of 1 Peter 1, 5 through 10. That's a very important verse. It talks about these virtues. What did I say? Second Peter 1, 5 through 10. Talks about all these virtues that ought to be in every Christian and growing. They ought to be there and you ought to be building on them, right? Okay, you've been so patient. So then with that in mind, I want you to remember this. Only true believers have the certainty of God's promises that are made to his children. Romans 8:28, right? God causes all things to work together for good to those that love him, right? Those that are called. So remember this, personal eschatology is the study of last things that affect believers, false believers, and unbelievers. Everybody in this room, everybody in the world will be affected by personal eschatology, whether you believe it or not. The Bible clearly says every knee will bow, right? Every Buddha, Hare Krishna, Edith Smith, and all of them. They're going to bow. Allah, whoever Allah's God is, going to bow.
Amen. Amen.
Every knee will bow to Jesus. And so you need to get this right now.
Amen.
You getting this?
Amen.
Personal eschatology will affect every one of us. Don't walk out here thinking that it's just going to be okay. Eschatology is the study of future events or last things should never be considered abstractly, in isolation or as an impersonal matter. Eschatology affects every individual whether you are aware of it now or not. Personal eschatology for the believer begins with an assurance of you being born again and confidence of perseverance until the end. So then in conclusion, my brother, my sister, hopefully you are encouraged and we'll do an examination. But I want to say to everyone here, if you've been listening to me today, this sobering question needs to be entertained. You need to entertain this question yourself. Have I been born again? No one can answer that but you. Don't look to other people for confirmation.
Amen.
The only one who can confirm it is God.
Amen.
Now, there'll be affirmation. I've told you that, right? Fruit will come. But the Bible says, examine yourself and be honest. Because if you're not, you can be saved, right? Are you a genuine Christian? You must be certain because only those who are truly born again by the power of the Holy Spirit will persevere to the end. If you are a genuine Christian, you can face all of the circumstances of life without fear of falling away or losing your salvation. If you are a genuine Christian, You don't have to say, well, our church believes that we won't lose salvation. You ought to know that the Bible teaches you that once you have eternal life, it can't be lost.
Amen.
It's not that our church believes. That's not the, you know, we don't have that a church forcing its doctrine on you. No, this is what you believe because the Bible teaches it. Right? If you are a genuine Christian, nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just as Abel and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Rahab and David and Esther and many others were faithful unto the end, if you are a true Christian, you will be faithful to the end. And if you're not a Christian today, this is the day to be real and honest about your need for a true relationship with God. This is the day to secure your future. This is the day to secure your personal eschatology today. This is the day to secure your need for Christ. You need to know with certainty what's going to happen to you after you die. You need to know. You don't need to be asking anyone else. You need to know. You need to know for yourself. God can save you today. He'll forgive your sins. You believe that?
Yeah.
He'll reveal his great plan for your life. You don't have to guess about it anymore. He's got a plan for you. But you won't know it until you come to Jesus. You've got to come to him. Because life doesn't begin until you come to Christ. To live is Christ. It's in him that you actually find out what life is. That's my plea. That's my prayer. Father, thank you for these few minutes that we spent together in consideration of your great plan of redemption. Thank you that you included us in this great plan, and the mystery of why you've loved us is beyond us. But we're so glad that you did. We're so thankful that you have loved us with that everlasting love. We're so thankful that you pursued us and you saved us. And now, Lord, for anyone here today or under the sound of my voice that does not have a real relationship with you through Christ, would you please grant them humility and true faith to lay hold of Jesus as the only mediator between God and man, to lay hold of Jesus as the only Savior, to lay hold of Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world and that takes away this individual's sin who right now may be having doubts and fears. Work today for your glory. Save today for your glory. Encourage the hearts of those who know you today for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.